Hello and welcome to the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM. Each week we're discussing all things related to downtown Las Vegas, its rebirth, its failures, successes, and the many interesting people working, living, and using that part of town that until very recently was largely forgotten and shunned by residents and tourists alike. I'm Joe Shaneman, a Las Vegas Sun reporter, who also writes a regular column in Las Vegas Weekly. You can find me in both publications and online under the heading of Joe Downtown. If you have any ideas for future shows, please send me an email at joe.downtown@lasvegassun.com or my Twitter account at joedowntownlv. As you listen, you might hear the tinkling of silverware or the bustle of people and music in the background. That's because we taped this at the Beat Coffee House in the Emergency Arts Building at 6th and Fremont Streets. Though the show is taped, we hope to soon be broadcasting live so we can take calls and comments and questions. So let's get to the show. The theme of today's show is Big Mouths and the Maturation of Las Vegas. Now, you might think that's a criticism of those who use their voices to a greater degree than others. Just the opposite, in fact. In a company town traditionally known for its compliant workforce, compliant as long as they're making good tips, valeting, waitressing, bartending, stripping, and whatnot, Las Vegas has never, ever been known as a hotbed of societal activism. There have been a few outbursts, of course. The milk revolt of the 70s based on a program to cut free milk. An outburst after the Rodney King verdict. I covered a march after the invasion of Iraq by George W., but marchers were restricted to sidewalks on the Strip. Then earlier this year, something different happened. Las Vegas hosted one of the largest anti-Monsanto, anti-genetically modified food marches in the country, with some 2,500 people showing up and shutting down part of the Strip. Even odder, downtown irritant Josh Ellis, who has roundly criticized techies for creating websites and apps useful to the rich but useless to everyone else, and he is not a fan of what's happening downtown, just raised $12,000 through Indiegogo.com to fly to Africa to write a book on how they do tech there. Remember where we are? This is Las Vegas. We're not supposed to give two hoots about what happens beyond the walls of our own homes, our so-called castles. Yet now we're sending summer to Africa to study people we've never heard of. We're marching on the streets against something we can't see, genetically modified organisms. Next thing you know, cats will be sleeping with dogs, homeless people fine dining at Michael Mina, or even more outlandish, adequate funding for education. Why change is happening here, what we can expect from these two, and where Las Vegas is going are all topics we'll explore with Morelli and Ellis. So let's begin. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Hi.
Now, you're a Las Vegas native. You went to high school here. Had a somewhat tumultuous childhood, which I've written about, but rose above all of that with the help, I believe, of your intellect and smarts. In fact, when you were in the Marines, now, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were the only female and oversaw other bemuscled men as part of a helicopter maintenance crew in Afghanistan. Now you own and operate Customistic, a custom t-shirt and decal shop at Decatur and Sahara, and have powered through the recession with flying colors. In other words, I think it's safe to say you're tough, right?
Yes. Yeah, I was the one female in my unit for my shop, and I was the one female that was in the maintenance area for my squadron for a really long time. So
you're a patriot.
Yes, I am.
But you're not a jingoistic sloganeering patriot, though.
I'm not sure what jingoistic. What is that word?
Sloganeering, you know, America, love it or leave it.
Oh yeah, no, that's awful. Why would you say that?
I see it on stickers on cars every day. What's an American to you? I mean, you served. You're still a Marine. They still say people who aren't Marines really are. So you're a Marine.
Yes.
You obviously fought for this country.
Yes.
So what's your problem? Why don't you, if you don't like it, just go up to Canada?
Because I don't think that's the answer. I think that this country used to be someplace that was built of the people who lived in it, and I think right now it's built of the interests of corporations or built on the interests of self-interest of the people who are representing us. And I think that that's messed up, and I think that it's our responsibility for us to rise up against that and say that that's messed up and we need to do something about it.
And somehow you think this God-fearing company called Monsanto and the genetically modified organisms have something play into that somehow. Tell me what you... How did you get on this anti-Monsanto, anti-genetically modified foods tear?
Well, I mean, honestly, I was looking at a bunch of different things that were going on over the last year, and my breaking point was when I read an article, I think 2 days after the Monsanto Protection Act got signed, saying that it got signed and seeing what it was. And it seemed counterintuitive that our representatives would sign on to something like that. It doesn't protect us at all. It protects agribusiness. And just going through and doing all the research and finding out exactly what was in the bill and exactly, what it meant to us, that's what frustrated me to the point where I was like, this isn't right. And I'm not really sure about genetically modified foods, but I know that this legislation isn't right. So I started doing more research and figuring out that this is something that we needed to at least be looking into.
Okay. I'm Joe Shaneman, by the way. I'm a writer of Joe Downtown in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. This is the Joe Downtown Show at KUNV 91.5 FM. I'm talking to Angie Morelli, organizer of what might be one of the biggest anti-GMO, anti-Monsanto protests in the country this coming October 12th. Back to GMOs. Aren't some genetically modified corn, such as those that are drought-resistant or resistant to certain pests, beneficial?
Well, they're genetically modified to resist both pests and pesticides because basically what they do is they genetically engineer them so that they do certain things like you can spray pesticides directly on them instead of just on the weeds around them. So then that way it ups their ability for them to be able to withstand the pesticides so they can use more pesticides on them. With that also, they do something to where it makes it so that it's resistant to the pests. So basically the corn that you buy from Walmart, it's genetically engineered so that if a beetle eats it, its stomach is meant to explode. And this is the food that they're feeding us. So it's like going through and reading all that information, you find out all this other stuff as well.
If we eat it, our stomachs, do we have the same reaction as a beetle?
We don't know. And the reason why is because of the fact that we don't have long-term testing. They have short-term, very, very basic testing that if you read what their testing was for the FDA or for Monsanto, you'd be appalled as to the things that they're letting, as to how limited the testing actually is. They don't have any kind of long-term testing. And it's a big question. Mark.
So what about the drought-resistant types?
Well, what about them?
I mean, in a country where drought is rampant, wouldn't that be a benefit?
It would be if it was food that we knew was good for us, and that's the issue, is the fact that we don't have the testing on it. And the thing is that also, basically, you have subsidies that are already allowed to the farms, but right now they're only giving subsidies to people who are using certain kind of crops. And we're not even sure if the drought resistance is doing anything beneficial for them anyways, because of the fact that they haven't actually produced information that has come out and proven the fact that it does increase crop yields. So that's where it gets difficult.
Now, aside from your next anti-GMO march on October 12th, which you believe is going to bring, 6,000 people downtown?
We're hoping. I mean, we're looking at a lot of different issues that are holding us back this time, but we're hoping to have, at least as good as a turnout that we had last time. Yes.
What are the issues? The spies from Monsanto infiltrating?
Well, there's issues with the social marketing campaigns.
Well, you didn't laugh at that.
It's not really funny. Like, it's an actual thing that, like, we're frustrated about right now is the fact that, the government's come out and actually specifically asked YouTube and Facebook to tone down Monsanto and GMO rhetoric. If you have any friends that post any of that stuff about it, you may have heard them complaining about it because it really is an actual issue. It's funny because it's like, that's just one of the things that goes along with this. I'm not as upset about, the actual health effects as I am about how messed up it is that, we're not even given the ability for us to be able to fight this correctly. For instance, Proposition 37 in California, that ended up barely getting voted down, and that was a proposition that was going to call for labeling of GMOs. And the reason why was because companies spent millions and millions of millions of dollars. Monsanto by itself spent over $8 million in the state of California alone to defeat this one bill. And that's what's frustrating, is the fact that you have a whole bunch of volunteers that are spending their own time and their own money and, pulling resources out of their own lives to fight this, and we're fighting against these companies that are getting paid subsidies and given favors by senators.
Are you talking about like social media companies?
No, I mean, I'm talking about like the fact that sometimes it just feels like it's an uneven fight, mm-hmm. and it's just frustrating a little bit. So that's the reason why we're doing other things to try and get their attention.
Now, you produced a video telling people how to become part of the corn and currency revolt. Essentially, boycott corn because most of the stuff we eat these days is genetically modified, and send a dollar to a congressman, which I thought was weird. But Why send that dollar, and what's been the result so far?
Well, basically what we were doing is that we were talking to a lot of people, and we were figuring out that people do already kind of know about this issue. Their problem is that they don't really know what to do about it, because it's very, very, very intimidating for you to tell somebody to 100% change the way that they're eating starting today. And so, you know, like, people look at the fact that they think that it's prohibitively expensive for you to eat organically. They think that it's difficult for you to find they think it's difficult for you to be able to find the foods. And so we wanted to simplify it and give them tools that they could use to actually participate in this fight. So basically we did, we asked for people to simply boycott corn, which is just one thing. You know, if you look at your grocery cart and you're buying 100 things, if you just choose to buy 10 of them organically starting tomorrow, then that's not that difficult. You know, like, it's getting to the point where...
But you, right. So the dollar went to them to say... Look, this is a direct payoff to you.
Yeah,
do what we want.
Yeah, the dollar is a different part of it. The dollar is basically saying, look, you know, like, we want you to be paying attention to what we're saying. We feel like you've been voting against our interests, and we think it's because of the fact that you're being given money by other people besides us. And so, here, I want to give you a dollar, and I want to buy back my vote. It's not much, but it's a dollar. And so it provided two things for us. It shows solidarity, and it gets the attention of the people who
what's that been like when you've gotten attention? Have they even responded? They said, yeah, well, this is great. We're gonna vote with the people, not with the big companies.
Well, we have had a lot of different, responses. First of all, when we first started doing it, somebody had gotten a phone call from one of our senators' offices asking what they were supposed to do with the dollar. They were genuinely confused. Then we all started getting letters back in the mail that had the dollars attached to them, and then had just the same exact letters that you get whenever you send them any letters about GMOs. Yeah, a form letter. And it wasn't rewritten or anything, and it just had the same form letter, and it had the dollars reattached to it and sent back to us.
Any idea how many of those were returned that way?
All of them. I would say all of them, but I haven't gotten any of my letters back.
How many numbers is that? In numbers, how many?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to measure how many people participated, but basically I can tell you this. I was just in D.C. last week, and I went to both of my senator's offices. I actually went to my representatives too, but the funny thing was that when I walked into Dean Heller's office, now let me remind you, like, we asked people to send in dollars to their local offices. I went to D.C., I walked into Dean Heller's office, the aide asked me, I wrote out a letter asking for them to reconsider the Monsanto Protection Act and for them to invite them to our march.
And what was their reaction?
And basically what their reaction was, the aide looked up to me and she was like, can I ask you a question? Why, when senators and representatives are getting letters about the GMO issue, how come there's dollars attached to them?
Was she like a high schooler?
No, she was like in her 20s. But that was a pretty big win for us. That was a pretty big win for GMO Free Vegas and everything that we're trying to do out here.
Ultimately, what do you want? Isn't this, wouldn't a huge victory be if you got labeling on products saying this contains a genetically modified organism?
Well, you look at victories, victories are relative. As of right now, yesterday they announced that the Senate ended up not renewing the Monsanto Protection Act. It's still up in the air as to exactly how that's going to end up working out as of right now, but it's looking like right now we're already winning a lot of these different battles that we're going after. The rhetoric about Monsanto and GMOs has gone up substantially in the last 6 months, and I think it's only going to go up from there.
Well, there's so much more we could talk about. You just returned from Washington, D.C. You did an interesting photo project. But we got to run. Angie, it's been a real pleasure. Good luck with the march, and let us know how it goes.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. By the way, that march is October 12th, 10:30 a.m., Fremont, and 6th, and you'll see the people crowded here and getting ready to march. Strap yourself in for our next guest on the show themed Big Mouths. Josh Ellis is a wrangler, a smart aleck, a no-holds-barred debater who isn't afraid to tell you where to go in perhaps the most erudite manner possible. He's also a tech geek, which means he understands what all the tech kids downtown are doing as they work on apps and websites as a way to make money. A few months ago, I wrote about Josh taking local techies to task for creating apps that in his summation, he finds a bit useless, or perhaps useful only to those with money. What happened, he'd asked, to scientific endeavors to better mankind or make life easier for the masses? Well, he found such a drive in Africa. More than a month ago, he came up with an idea. He created a video explaining it, put that video on Indiegogo.com, which is a crowdfunding website, and pitched this idea. If he could raise $10,000 in contributions, he would fly to Africa for 2 months, walk the country like Kane in Kung Fu, and talk to the techies there about their lives and how they think when they are developing new apps and websites. He seems, and other writers have talked about, the fact that the tech people there know a little bit more about creating useful apps for regular people. Now, he did this thing on Indiegogo, but I really didn't expect it to go anywhere. I was stunned, as Ellis, I think, when a month later he did it. 190 people had contributed $12,192. So he has to do it. He's going to fly to Kenya, home to Islamic terrorists who have publicly said they will target foreigners, in fact, on the day he reached his goal. And then somehow he's going to try to get back to Las Vegas and write about it. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Although I should point out, I'm not going to be there for 2 months, probably. I'm going to be there for about a month. I may extend it a little bit, but probably not that long. And
I think a month walking the earth like Cain and dodging terrorist bullets is enough.
Yeah, generally, I think that's probably about my limit. After that, it starts to get a little boring, you know,
yeah.
Constantly having to, like, you know, duck into a cafe and pretend to be French and, you know, hide from
with guns. We'll describe some of your self-defense techniques that you've talked about before a little later. First of all, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
If you do make it back, do you still have that beater truck, pickup truck you had a couple years ago that you might bequeath to somebody less fortunate like me?
I do not have the beater pickup truck, but I do have an aging Pontiac sedan with a bunch of 90s alternative rock bumper stickers that... But I think my parents want that. I think they're actually counting on me not coming back because they haven't really been able to do a new car for a while. So, yeah, like a second car.
Well, they and apparently a lot of people downtown, because you reached your goal to get to Africa after you blasted out an email and a Facebook plea saying, look, if you don't like me, send me to Africa. I could get killed and maybe I won't come back. I mean, essentially, that's what you said. So,
yeah.
Let's talk a bit about how you have rankled people down here. What did you say? What is it that you see is wrong with the tech development down here, or the redevelopment in general?
Well, and actually, I think there are both good and bad things about both. I think in terms of the urban redevelopment down here, I think that it's being done completely wrong. I think that the damage that's being done to the disadvantaged community here by the economic development is unconscionable. I don't see anybody stepping in with any oversight to try to help shape the development that's happening here so that it benefits...
Well, let me just interject for a second. Did Steve Wynn have somebody come in to see how, when he was bouncing people out of homes, allegedly, to create the Wynn? Was there some oversight committee that came in and said, no, stop that?
No, and there probably should have been. But the difference is that Steve Wynn didn't parrot the word community over and over and over until it lost all meaning. Steve Wynn is Steve Wynn. He's a developer. He's a shark. He's a great white shark, and he makes no bones about it. He doesn't try to pretend that he's doing some kind of, you know, Burning Man camp for downtown Las Vegas. And I tend to have more of a problem with hypocrisy than I do with simple rapacity.
So I want to get to the hypocrisy thing. That's a theme that comes out in what you're talking about. Do you think Tony Hsieh himself, who is the grand poobah of the downtown project, is hypocritical? I've talked to him. I would say I know him maybe as well as you can know him. I think he truly believes in what he's doing.
I don't know the man. I can't speak to his motivations. I can only speak to his actions and the actions of the people who work for him and around him. And as far as that goes, I'm sure that his intentions are perfectly valid. I'm sure the intentions of everybody involved, they really want to make something neat. The problem is that they don't seem to have the ability to understand that their consequences have larger actions, and those consequences, they're not feeling the brunt of.
Can I mention, which I have, and people have read about this, I was mugged down here 4 or 5 years ago. So, the area and large swaths of the parcels and the properties that they've purchased down here haven't had a lot of people on them. They have moved some people. I think they went out of their way in some cases after being sort of caught trying to push people out of Town Terrace a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
But they've been very amenable to relocating people. Don't bring up the relocating word, but they have done they have done that a lot with, and with the businesses that they've moved out on properties that they've purchased. I've never seen developers do that anywhere. And my point was, years ago, I was mugged down here. This wasn't exactly an area anybody was saying, let's protect.
Right, so, but look, here's the thing. We all like to pretend that it's possible to make a city where everybody's happy, everybody's at least middle class, there's no crime, and that's nonsense. It will never happen. This neighborhood was full of disadvantaged people, and by disadvantaged people, I mean it was full of crackheads and junkies and robbers. Absolutely. Nobody's going to pretend that downtown was some kind of, like, you know, sweet home for the poor folk. It still, in most ways, is. The people that are down here, there's a lot of panhandlers, a lot of drug addicts, there's a lot of criminals. Absolutely. I'm not going to argue that. What I am going to argue is that the fact that these people are junkies and criminals and homeless people doesn't mean they're not people. And this was the one place they could go. Las Vegas is the most NIMBY city I've ever been in my life. If you don't know that acronym, it stands for Not In My Backyard. And so everybody wants the poors to go away. Nobody wants to see
the poors.
This is
the one place they could go. Come on, Josh. This is.
Well, no, they can go in Northtown, and that's what they've been doing. They can go down to my neighborhood, the Maryland Parkway.
Or we corridor. As voters could demand that our government does something to help them.
Yes, we could, but we won't.
But do you blame a developer then, who perhaps reads those tea leaves and knows that's not going to happen? Knows people don't really care about an area and decides, I'm going to move in there and redevelop it. I mean, it's not, he does genuinely like this area. He moved his entire headquarters down here with 1,500
people. I don't care what he likes. It has absolutely no reflection on it at all. Personal feelings don't have any reflection on it. Look, I talk to the people who live down here and who panhandle down here and who buy and sell drugs down here. And they've been moved. I mean, they've been pushed out very deliberately. And most of them have nowhere else to go. This is where the cheapest rents are. This is the place where the food banks are. Because, of course, everything like the homeless shelters, we don't have those anywhere else in the city because nobody else wants them. So they all got pushed down here. Social services got pushed down here. All of that stuff, all of these people got pushed down here in the 90s and in the 2000s. And now we're pushing them out again. And for what? What is being built down here that's worth the suffering of people who get pushed out of the little hotels that they live in, or motels, or the people who suddenly find themselves out on the street because their apartment complex is going to be torn down to build what? Dorms for bro? I mean, seriously.
Well, I'm looking out the window right now. I'm seeing people I wouldn't have seen here even a year ago walking down the street. You know, two young women.
Yeah, let me ask you, though. So what? So what?
Well, I moved here from Wisconsin. I found in Las Vegas, you've been here a long time as well, is there was no central Las Vegas. For a long time, they thought, well, it's going to move. I remember a columnist writing, it's moving to Summerlin, or it's going to move Henderson. That's going to be our downtown.
Right.
The fact that that a downtown area is being created where you wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be in this building before downtown redevelopment had happened, that there's a central sort of location where a sense of community exists is important to a city.
Yeah, it is.
They tried to create it with Oscars River and all that stuff. That just didn't take. It didn't happen.
Well, it didn't take because the problem is that I don't think that anybody in Las Vegas, and certainly not the old guard and certainly not the new guard, really understand what community means. To me, community is not about getting a bunch of people that you like so you can go and sit around and have craft cocktails and feel very self-congratulatory about how amazing you are.
So what, do you want to provide a table in every bar for the homeless?
No, what I want to do is have a community where everybody is important, including the people who don't have money and don't deliver happiness. Because people who are not part of the program get pushed out here, and that's just a fact.
I think you deliver happiness, Josh.
I deliver contempt. I deliver rage. I'm very, very good at it. It's my one true talent. That and playing the mandolin, apparently. But I think that the problem is that the same thing is happening now that's happening everywhere. The people here who are not part of the program, the people here who are not revenue generators or job creators or small business owners or economic redevelopers are being ignored and marginalized on a daily basis. And I'm contemptuous of that, especially when people start talking about community. Community includes the people you don't like. Community includes the crazy guy who rants on the corner down there who's been there for 10 years.
What about the guy in your neighborhood? I remember a few years ago over by UNLV that was selling crack outside, and you swore on Facebook you're going to go out there with your machete and chop his hands off.
It wasn't a guy selling crack. What it was there was a guy who was selling heroin, and there were the people were leaving needles around next to where there were small kids.
They're part of the community?
They are part of the community, and so what they need to do is to clean it up. Unfortunately, the city here has almost no resources to help those people. Our health and human service budget is pathetic.
I'm going to interject really quick. I'm Joe Shaneman, writer of Joe Downtown in the Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. This is the Joe Downtown Show at KUNV 91.5 FM. I'm talking to Josh Ellis, downtown critic, master tech geek, and someone on his way to Africa to write about tech there. Go ahead, Josh. Sorry.
I mean, look, there are things that have happened down here that I think are extremely positive. Absolutely, there are. I'm not saying that it's all negative. I'm not even saying that...
Whoa. Did you say positive? I want to hear one positive thing you see happening down here.
Well... Lest we forget, this particular block of Fremont started to be revitalized, not by the Downtown Project or by the tech scene, but by the guys who own the Griffin and the Beauty Bar. When this place came in, where we're sitting now, the Beat, the Emergency Arts Collective, I think this is wonderful. I think this is really great. I think that it's an extremely positive force for downtown. But what bothers me is when you start seeing things getting leveled, places where people live or stay. To build things that, frankly, I don't see the value.
Well, the downtown container park, which we can see from here, used to be what a lot of people thought was a crack hotel. I don't know what it was called.
It was shady,
scary to walk by at night.
Sure, but there were people who lived there. Now we've got another fabulous place for economic redevelopment to happen.
Whoa. The container park.
Who gives a crap about a container park?
God's gift to downtown?
What the hell is it? I mean, that's exciting. That's wonderful. We built a mini mall out of trucks. That's amazing. Okay, it looks like somebody left their Legos out. That's so exciting to me. I think that it justifies people sleeping on the streets because we now have a giant praying mantis hanging out over Fremont Street like it's some kind of playground or theme park. That's awesome. I'm really glad that happened. Yeah. It makes me so happy that people who have these startups where they're figuring out ways to buy their bros beer without actually standing up from the bar have a place to go and sit in a shipping container and deliver happiness. I think that's wonderful. I'm so happy to see that.
I just want to state that... Okay, let's say there wasn't the praying mantis. The fact that there's anything there, anything.
Why? Seriously, what? I mean, you had a hotel. You had a little crappy motel, and it had people who lived there, and now they don't live there. And unlike the people that in publicly they got caught out on, those people weren't given any options. They were just told to get GTFO, basically. So now we have a shipping container park.
That's hipster for a slang with a naughty word in it, but go on.
So what we've done is we've built a lot of wonderful places to buy expensive booze. We've got that. We've got some restaurants where you can buy some crappy food, real again, overpriced. We've got a bunch of self-satisfied social media guys walking around. How could you not love this? How could you not be excited to see that? And when they're pushing the poor people off because they don't want them on Fremont because you don't want, you know, the VCs and the shiny people to come in and see them, why wouldn't you be excited by that?
Here's what's most stunning about the fact that you're going to Africa. Some of those people contributed to your trip.
I'm perfectly, you know what, and I'm thankful for it, but I'm not going to change my mind about things that I think are actually harmful to the city just because people give me money.
That's Josh, this has been a pleasure. I'm sorry, we got to cut you off. I would love to go on for an hour. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
This has been the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM, The Source. To hear the show online, go to the Las Vegas Sun website, click on Joe Downtown, and find the section on radio broadcasts. Good day and good luck.